Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Tuesday, the 5th of October. Hopefully everyone is having an incredible day so far. I am absolutely loving this day. The rain is coming down in Phoenix. It is nice and overcast, which means it's not 1,000 degrees. So you know that means we love it. This is just great weather. A lot of good stuff to get into today. So I've come to the conclusion, as opposed to trying to squeeze everything in today, which is going to be impossible, we're going to spread this out over the next couple of days. Excuse me, we have a monumentous event happening tomorrow. The Suns and the Lakers are playing at 3. The Mercury and the Aces are playing at 7. Same court. The NBA will be playing on the WNBA's court. Which is just an incredible event. So we're going to get into a lot of that, but we're going to do that one tomorrow because I'm literally going to go right from the show to two games. So it's going to be an incredible night. So with the Mercury needing only one victory to go to the WNBA championship, I guess Phoenix is a new hotspot for hoops, huh? And so we'll get into all that tomorrow. Thursday is all about previewing the Cardinals and picks and all of that stuff. Today, I want to get into this idiot that coaches the Chicago Bears. That's on the top. That's on the list. And then there's someone who has something to say to not only their team, but to their wife. I believe this is it.
Baby, I'm sorry.
We'll get into who has to apologize, or rather, who had to apologize for some of their actions. So we'll get into that. Those are the definite topics for today, and a little bit of other things. Now, very pleased to say at 1:15, Las Vegas sports reporter Dixon will be joining us. We're going to go over Raiders football, all the stuff that's happening, sports landscape in Vegas. So fun conversation, and best part, she's a fellow Sun Devil. So we'll get all that done today. Hopefully have time to squeeze a little bit more. Going to try to squeeze in a couple phone calls as well. Give the number out now, 917-889-7828. And we'll do all that out here on The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get down there, check them out. Make sure you let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase by letting them know that. You also can become a member. Get your access to the members' lounge, refrigerator, TVs, comfortable chair. Everything you need is back there. They do serve beer and wine, so enjoy your stick while you're chilling out. If you don't become a member, still no issue. Plenty of places for you to relax and watch all the TVs, all the games. They have all the league passes, so sit back and relax. Now, if you can't make it down there, there's still no issue. Go to Stogie World. It's STOHEIEworld.com, and they will take care of you and tune you up still with cigars shipped out the exact same day if you get your order in early enough. This Thursday is ladies' night, so get down there for all the specials. Watch the game. And this ladies' night, what more do you need? All this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, I want to squeeze in a couple of calls before our break and before Amber Dixon gives us a call. The call-in number is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Also want to get into, tomorrow, I didn't mention this, but tomorrow I will give you my top 10 NFL ranking. You might be surprised. You might be surprised. I will say this, though, as a good teaser for you, I find it amazing that everyone says the Rams are the best team in football. They get their asses handed to them by the Cardinals, who's the only 4-0 team in football, but somehow we're talking the Dallas Cowboys. Huh. Anyway, let's jump to these lines. Thank you for holding. Game Show, PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
What's up, my man? How are you today?
All right. Well, we got a big game tonight, though, although it's baseball. But it's a pretty big game. Of course, it's the best rivalry in all baseball and probably all sports, too.
Oh, it's the Dodgers and the Giants?
Nice try.
It's the, no, was I guess I was mistaken with that.
You certainly were. Actually, the Dodgers – actually, you're, I'll give you half credit because it's the Dodgers versus the Cardinals tomorrow. So I'll give you half credit. But tonight is more heated,
Yankees
bigger Red rivalry Sox. Than that. That's right.
Yankees-Red Sox.
Doesn't get more uglier than that.
That means we can watch them play for the 54th time this season.
Right. But it's a playoff, and it's only one game. So you win, you move on, you lose, you're out.
Okay, so I'm asking you to pick this game with your head, not your heart. Who do you have tonight?
You might be surprised, but I'm going to say the Yankees.
Well, how would I be surprised? That's your team, isn't it?
I know, but most people will probably take Boston since they're at home.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this then real quick. Why the Yankees? Why are the Yankees a better
Yankees
team tonight than the –
Well, look, Boston has got some injured players. I mean, they just got another one of their star players out, so I think it's going to be our advantage. You know, it takes one player out of a lineup that can really mess it up.
And that's what's going to happen, huh?
It could happen. I mean, look, Martinez is gone. He's out for this game, and I don't think they can win without him.
Well, we shall see, huh?
Yes,
we shall see. Everything is – I love the one and done. I think it everything is – you know, let me use all the sports cliches. You can push all the chips to the center of the table. Everything is on a line. It's do or die. Win or go home.
Yeah.
You keep throwing all the hyperboles out there, but I tell you what, I like the fact that the team that's sitting there waiting for these teams is the team sitting there saying – go 15 innings. Score. I want to score 10-9. I want those because the managers in these one and done games are in a tough situation because they have to really manage for two games. They got to manage this game, but if they win, they got to make sure they don't overextend their bullpen for the next game. So I find the strategy just amazing. More so in the National League because pitchers have to hit. Than the American League, but nonetheless, I find it interesting either way.
Well, at Boston, Boston, New York, that could go 15.
You never know. Let's see how the ball's flying today.
Coming off that ugly rain yesterday, who knows?
Well, I tell you what, it is coming down here. Let me pretend I'm a weatherman. It is coming down like cats and dogs and cats. I absolutely love the weather. My only problem is everyone's allergies are going insane.
Mine did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, this weather is just it drives your allergies absolutely bananas.
No, actually, this type of weather helps me because it gets rid of all the pollen and the ragweed. So this helps me a lot.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this.
I don't know about the rest of y'all, but that's how it works for me.
Well, out here in the desert, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I've been out in that desert.
It is a pain in the butt. But my friend, hey, listen. We'll take it. Hey, real quick, thought before I have to let you go. You got to be a happy man. Your Cowboys are looking pretty good.
Yes. Best up front in the division. And everybody was, you know, writing him off this year. I mean, I got some people on watch and think, oh, it's going to be the Redskins' year. It's going to be the Redskins' year. Oh, really? Right now it looks like it's going to be the Cowboys' year. I even said this, you know, as it went in the first game, if it goes the way it did in the first game, it's going to be a great season for the Cowboys. Dax is back.
Well, yeah, well, and it's not even Dak, Lou, if we're being honest. It's your defense that's doing the work. I mean, Dak is playing great, don't get me wrong, but your defense is playing magnificent football right now.
Yes.
And that's carrying them, because not carrying them in terms of, you know what I mean, it's not like they're holding people to 4 points, but unlike last year, they were giving away points like, you know, Oprah gives away stuff on her show, and they're not doing that this year. So that's making a huge difference for them. So big time congratulations to what they're doing so far. Good start to the season. And I'm sure Dallas Cowboy fans are extremely, extremely happy.
Yes, but Washington and Giants fans are not.
No, well, Washington has its own set of issues. I don't care how good your defense can play in today's football, you need a quarterback. The Giants are the
right.
Giants. I mean, that's all you really got to say about it. And Philadelphia sucks. So there's your wrap right there. There's your wrap right there.
I can put that myself.
All right, my friend. Always good to catch up with you.
All right, Paul. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Always good to catch up with a good friend of the program. So we're going to step away for a second. When we come back, scheduled to have Amber Dixon call in. And one player, I don't know what they're going to do in the NBA. We'll touch on all that. We'll do that right here on the Cave Show.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on the Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. If it sounds like I have a lot of pep in my voice today, I do. I don't know why. I think when it rained in the Phoenix area and it's not 175 degrees, I think it just makes you feel so much better. And I think it's incredible how today has just been a 70-something degree day, overcast, rain. I feel like I'm back in Chicago in the springtime or the early fall. Either way, It's a winter outside. Thank you for joining us here live at 1 o'clock. Know if you missed the show, you can always check us out as well at KSRN as a replay at 3 p.m. Also, we're on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Just go to The Cave Show. It's brought to you by The Sports Cave. Download those apps. Make sure that you are getting us everywhere you can hear us. Easiest way to get us every day is just go to sportscave.com. Hit that listen live button at 1 o'clock. Like I said, and there we are. I'm definitely going to get into this Kyrie thing before the show is over. And I'm definitely going to get into this Bears thing. And like I said, I know I've teased it once. I'm going to tease it one more time. One more time. There's someone that is talking to his wife right now. He's talking to his football team. He's talking to his owner. And he's only saying this right now.
Baby, I'm sorry.
We'll get into that really soon, but on the line with me right now, Las Vegas sports reporter. It is so awesome to finally get her on, and it's my fault because it only took me forever to ask her. The one and only Amber Dixon. Amber, Cave Show with PLR, how are you?
I'm doing well. It did take a long time. How many years has it been now?
It's been a few. I think when you actually put the number on it, it makes it seem like I did a terrible job saying, hey, great meeting you. You should come on my show. So I should say it's been a while. That way, it keeps everything kind of in a box.
Well, to your credit, a lot has happened in Las Vegas in sports that wasn't happening back then when we first met at that Super Bowl. And I forget what number it was, but I'll never forget that ending. Russell Wilson, instead of handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, throws it into the end zone, and it's picked off again. Tom Brady and those Patriots pick up another Super Bowl ring. You remember that, right?
Just like it was yesterday. I'm still miffed at why you have a 240-pound running back and you decide to pass the ball. That, to this day, I'll never understand that.
Just getting too cute, what Mr. Pete Carroll was doing there.
Well,
and I don't think that Marshawn Lynch has ever forgiven him. I don't think he's ever moved on from that.
I don't think that defense ever moved on from that. I think Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and all those guys are still pissed off. And believe me, I live in a world of too cute because I'm a Bears fan. And our coach believes in a too cute. I've said 1,000 times, it's a guy that you can have first down and 6 inches on the goal line, and he'll run a double wheel reverse gap back pass XYZ out in the flat to the fourth string tight end. So I live in the world of Q. So
hey, you know who hasn't moved on from Richard Sherman is Tom Brady, having him come play for the Buccaneers. Kind of wild, right? It seems like the Buccaneers are the new Raiders in that they're taking the veteran players that maybe have run into a little bit of trouble and giving them new life.
One's a Buccaneer, one's a Raider. And they're real close to the same there, right? They're both have a little pirate in them. So I think that's awesome to see it. And like you said, when we first started, so much has changed. Now, here's why I'm confused. I watched the game last night. Did they pick up Vegas and sit it in L.A.? Because I honestly thought that was a Raider home game last night.
Yeah, it sounded like one, too. Well, okay, so I don't know how many people from Vegas actually traveled there, minus Mark Davis, the owner, because he goes to every road game except during COVID. That was the first time in many, many years that he had not been able to go to road games. But L.A. already has that Raiders fan base from back in the day when they were in L.A. So I have family in California, and they are Raiders fans, and I know that some of them we're planning on being there. And L.A. and Vegas, it's kind of interchangeable now because it's only, if you time it correctly, only about a 4.5-hour drive. But if you're heading into traffic, like if you're leaving Las Vegas on a Sunday evening to head back to L.A., you're in for an 8-hour bumper-to-bumper ride. But besides that, if you can time it correctly, it's like Vegas is kind of the new L.A. There's a lot of traveling in between both cities. And even when the Raiders had their home opener here last year with no fans, I remember being out there reporting in the morning, and there were a bunch of people from L.A. that had driven in just to see, well, the Raiders play from the outside, to watch it on a TV but physically be present outside the stadium.
It seems like it. And I'll let me hear on the Cave Show with PLR, Las Vegas sports reporter Amber Dixon. It seems like the city – and maybe it's just me, you can explain this one to me. It seems like it's twofold. Yeah, you have Raider fans, but I know that I've got friends from Chicago that have waited just to go to Vegas to watch their team play. So it seems like not only is it a home game, but it's turned into a road team destination game, which makes it even much more of a show than a football game.
You're so right about that, and I bet a lot of those Bears fans you're talking about are in Arizona, right? Because so many people from Illinois moved to Arizona later in life for the weather. I mean, I have family, also extended family from the Chicago area who now live in Arizona. I expect a bunch of Bears fans from Arizona to be up here this upcoming Sunday when the Raiders take on the Bears. So you're so right about that. There's the element added in that fans of the opponent want to travel here because it's Vegas, first and foremost. And second, they get to catch an NFL game, and they get to have fun on the Strip. They get to check out a brand-new stadium. And that's even happened with unfortunately, it's happened in not in favor of UNLV, the college football team who shares the Raiders' new stadium. Their opponents' fans have been traveling big time, and so it's almost not even – it's not even a home field advantage for them. And you would think, gosh, it's the Mountain West, and who really is going to come in for that? But I think people are coming in to also see the new stadium just to check it out as like a tourist exhibit. Kind of wild.
Well, it's I hear the stadium is great. Unfortunately, I have not had the opportunity yet. But it seems like it's going to be even more of a great place to play because are the Raiders really good, or is this just too early to see? Or are the Raiders, as I like to say, are the Raiders going to Raider before the year's over, or is this a legitimate football team?
And did we start to see the Raiders Raider last night? Not to use your term, your verb. I am more on the pessimistic side, I guess, with my journalist roots and covering the team for several years now. I try to look at everything black and white, not so much silver and black, right? And I am not sold yet on them. Yes, 3-1, first loss last night against the Chargers, a division rival. They started out last season pretty hot, too, by knocking off a couple teams that they were not expected to beat, similar to this season. And I think time will tell. We have to get a little bit deeper into the season, see how they hold up on the injury front. They have a lot of potential, but they're also in the toughest division in the NFL. And we still got to see how long their defensive improvements can last. That's been their Achilles heel for so long. And while it has looked good through the first 3 weeks, we never know what's going to pop up as the season develops. And there were three top cornerbacks who left last night's game injured. So their secondary has always been an issue, and now, yikes, it's just a little bit scary. We'll see. I haven't given up on them yet. I would like to see them do well, especially their first season in Las Vegas with fans in the stands, unlike last season. I don't know if that really counted. It was such a strange atmosphere inside Allegiant Stadium with no fans. It's funny, though, you can tell that Las Vegas is a bit new to having an NFL team because when they are at the game, they are so loud even while the Raiders are on offense. And so Derek Carr is turning around to kind of motion to the crowd, hey, bring it down a little. I can't relay the plays that I need to. You guys are making this more difficult on us. You got to root at the correct time. So don't put us at a disadvantage. You got to know the right time to be loud and when you kind of quiet up so we can communicate well.
To share with you real quick about Mark Davis before I ask you my next question, he was actually here on Sunday for the Las Vegas Aces versus Venus Mercury game. So he popped in town to our old place, now it's called Desert Financial Arena, to watch that game. So he came down for that before he popped back up to Vegas or popped out to L.A. for the game. Pretty cool.
Well, you know, he owns the Las Vegas Aces now. He bought them within the last year, and he has been a fixture courtside at all of their games. He, he's such a leader in so many ways, and to promote the women's game, I just think, oh, it's so cool. And it's so very much like Mark Davis and his dad, Al Davis, who were so very progressive within different issues of racial justice and for women's rights. So it goes with that mentality that the Davis family has. And, I wanted to say, though, that was bad foresight by the arena that the Mercury play in to book a Disney on Ice event, knowing that the Phoenix Mercury could be in the WNBA semifinals. And so the Mercury had to go play on ASU's home court. I think that's kind of messed up.
Well, for the first one and done game, there was a concert that was booked. So they actually had to play at GCU for their one and done game against New York. So this, or tomorrow actually, will be the first game they've played at Footprint since the playoffs have started. So they had to play their one and done at GCU, their next one and done in Seattle, Then they had to go play in Las Vegas, and then they had to come to ASU, and now they're finally back at Footprint tomorrow night.
See, now that's a bit disrespectful, I think, and I don't think Mark Davis would have ever let that happen with the Aces.
No, and ready for this? Tomorrow night, here's what's even crazier. Tomorrow night, the Suns were scheduled for the 7 o'clock game, and the Mercury were going to have to find another place to play the game that would have possibly put them in the finals. But the NBA came to their senses, and they moved the L.A. Lakers-Phoenix Suns preseason game to 3 o'clock, and then the Mercury and the Aces will play at 7. And what's even more cool about it, the NBA finally got something right. The NBA game will be played on the WNBA Phoenix Mercury court for everyone to see the court of the Phoenix Mercury.
I think that is so cool. I did see a press release about that. Now, does it work if you buy a ticket to the Suns preseason game that you can stay for the Mercury and the Aces semifinal game?
Amber, this is the NBA. They're about that money. Come on now.
Oh,
no. You got to buy one ticket, and then you got to leave. Hold on, it's even better. You buy that ticket, you got to leave the building, and you got to come back in the building. So,
what?
No. It's about the money.
Oh.
So tomorrow, the only people that can stay in the building, from what the email that I got, for those of us covering both games, we don't have to leave. And I'm like, boy, how annoying would it be for us in the media to get ourselves, pack it all up, walk outside the entrance, to turn around and walk right back in the entrance. So we're the only people that get to stay through both. But otherwise, everybody has to get out and come back.
Well, geez, I mean, that kind of defeats the purpose, right, of promoting the women's game. Come to the preseason game on the NBA side and stay for the Phoenix Mercury semifinals game. But, gosh, I hope people actually do, even though they have to leave and then come back in. It's an elimination game for the Aces. So, boy, and I didn't expect them to be in this position, to tell you the truth. And look at the Mercury, what they've battled back from. Diana Taurasi is one of the all-time greats, so hard to go up against her, right?
It is, and Brittany Griner, and I'll tell you something. I've been covering this team now.
Rihanna Turner.
For 7 years, and it is so good to see them back in this position. And it's the one team in Phoenix that you always went into a season thinking this might be the team that has a chance to win. And I'm being a realist because I've covered the Suns for 10 years, and 10 of those years were really bleak.
But the Mercury always showed up.
Always. So it's kind of nice. And I had said this when the show first started. Phoenix is turning into a sleepy, sneaky basketball town. You have the Suns in the finals. The Mercury are one game away from the finals. The Sun Devils, 3 out of the last 4 years, have made the tournament. Kind of turning that corner here in Phoenix when it comes to basketball.
Well, basketball was my first love in Phoenix. It was my first sports heartbreak as well when Charles Barkley and the Suns lost to Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I mean, I was about 5, 6 years old, and my little heart just could not handle it. And I think I stopped watching sports for a little bit and then played sports and then grew back into loving the Diamondbacks, I guess, and got to see them win a World Series. But, shoot, that was a hard one. It's hard to accept a loss as a young child and as a fan. I thought that this would be the Aces' year for sure, though. I mean, they've been in the semifinals back-to-back years. This year they have everybody back, everybody healthy, Asia Wilson and Liz Cambage. And I don't know what happened. It just looks like they're not – I don't know. They look lost. They don't look like themselves. I'm kind of surprised. But I did want to say one more thing. I read that Chris Paul of the Suns, of course, bought 500 tickets for the Mercury game tomorrow night. I don't know who he's giving them to, but I'm sure to some charitable cause, which is really cool.
He actually did the same thing the other night. And on the Cave Show with PLR, the one and only Amber Dixon, Las Vegas sports reporter, he did the same thing the other day, and it's the first 500 people that showed up to get the tickets. I will even go a step further for how cool the Mercury are. I coach three teams, 10U boys basketball, 12U girls and 12 of you boys. They were nice enough from us asking to give my team 50 tickets to give out. So I had all but one of my girls show up to the game, the last game, and it's the third time this year that they gave us somewhere between 30 and 50 tickets. So my girl my lady basketball players and my guy basketball players, which I love even more, going to see ladies play so they don't get this mindset that, hey, it's just us. No, they actually went, they go, they support, they have fun, and they enjoy the game. So the Mercury have done an amazing job of trying to generate fans, new fans, young fans, and just grow with the team. So I think it's many props to them.
It's so important for those young women to have the representation, to be able to see a woman older than them who has been able to make a life out of basketball, to see that, hey, she looks like me, and I guess I can do this if she did it. It's really neat. And to have the Suns players there, I heard that they were there for that game. And then,
they were.
You know, here in for the first game, the Raiders players were sitting courtside alongside Mark Davis. So it's really cool to see the men come out and support the women. I love that.
It's super important. I'll tell you the one cool thing, and real quick side story. So my sons went to the game on Sunday, and they're 10 and 11. And so when I go back to the press conference, they're right outside the room. And I said, hey, guys, look, dad's at work. So just kind of stand outside, you know, just be good. So I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear you, right? You know that dad line, like, hey, I'll basically – I guess I'm trying to basically say, I told him, I'll kill you if anything goes wrong. You know that. You know how dads do. So I come out of
the
press conference.
The look in your eyes said everything.
Everything. I come out, and their eyes are like, dad, while you were in there, Diana Taurasi came by, gave us high fives, and Sophie Cunningham, and the head coach Sandy came by, and they high. And what was so cool about it to me was that, especially more so my eldest son, he knows players. He knows NBA guys. But to see his eyes light up for the lady players as much as they lit up when he first met the guy players, I think says everything about their respect for the game. And it doesn't matter who it is. They love the game and who plays the game. And I wish more people would look at it like that.
And it also is a testament to how you're raising them. So bravo.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Listen, though, I can't let you get out of here. I can't let you get out of here without asking you this. So hockey's there. The WNBA is there. And football is there. When is the NBA going to say, hey, we need to get in this market? This happened.
I think they've been asked every year for the last probably 5 years at least, and the commissioner continues to say we're not looking at expanding right now, but if and when we do, Vegas would certainly sit atop our list, and then probably Seattle as well. But it's to me, it's not a matter of if, but when. It is going to happen by the original plan with MGM owning the Aces originally was to perhaps convince the NBA, look, we can have a WNBA team, so let's get an NBA team as well. But then they ended up selling to Mark Davis. So, gosh, can you imagine if Mark Davis owns an NBA team as well? But you know
That'd
what
awesome.
You can't let me get out of here first with is there is a huge heavyweight title fight this weekend here in Las Vegas. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, their trilogy match. There are not a lot of trilogies in heavyweight history, especially at the championship level. And, it's going to be a big one. I mean, the last one, Tyson Fury stopped Deontay Wilder in the third round, and it's been a battle to get back to the seventh round. It's been a battle to get back to this third fight. It's finally happening, and I'm thinking Tyson Fury is going to win this one, although I would love to see Deontay Wilder knock him out with that vicious right hand he has. And we're going to be breaking this down on the show I'm on, the boxing podcast I'm on. That is on Fight TV, and it's called In This Corner. I'm joined by James Smitty Smith and boxing historian Lee Grove. So tune in Saturday at 11 on Fight TV.
Okay, I got to say this. I'm rooting for the Bronx Bomber, too.
Yeah.
But punchers can't beat boxers. It just, in the history of the sport, boxers stay away, and they find a way to connect and frustrate punchers. So I'm hoping this is the exception to that rule, but I think Tyson gets him again.
I do too. And out of the two, the better boxer is Tyson Fury. He's so skilled,
yes,
and proficient and an educated boxer. His ring IQ and his movement, even though he's such a giant man, he's so fundamentally sound. But in order to beat Deontay Wilder this last time around, because the first time they fought to a draw, he had to get rid of his trainer, get a new trainer, and take on this big man mentality of, I'm just going to come forward and walk right through you. And that's what he did last time with Deontay Wilder. I don't know how Deontay is going to respond to that. I can't see him getting the footwork to be able to move out of the way all the time, stick and move. That's not ever anything he's really done, and that's not something you can pick up quick. And if he does decide to match the ferocity of Tyson Fury, I don't know. I mean, it's gonna end in a knockout. I can say that for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know what? I'll tell you how ASU mine think alike, because I was going to you went down the court on a fast break, and instead of giving me the ball so I can give it back so I can get my assist, you slam dunked on me. So I was about to throw the fight TV, but you took my assist away. So we still got 2 points. But you got my assist away from me. But
well, you know, it's Vegas is such a big sports town now, but I think now people are tending to forget that there's still a lot of great boxing matches that happen here as well.
I'm going to show you my age on this one. I once went to Vegas to see Sugar Ray Leonard fight. My dad treated me to a Sugar Ray Leonard fight at the Mirage back in like 1990. I was a junior at ASU. A sophomore at ASU. So
wow,
it was absolutely amazing. I had a fake ID, and I was I didn't get carded one time. And what's so funny is I left my fake ID in Chicago, and I asked my grandmother to give it to him. My grandmother drilled me on my ID. She was like, this has your wrong age, your wrong address. And I'm like, because he's coming by the house, just give him the ID. So then he gives me the ID, and he's like, everything on your ID is wrong. And I'm like, I just need the ID. That's all I need. I don't need all these explanations. Just give me the ID. But that was my first time in Vegas. It was for a fight. I left $100 in the good. It was like my best trip ever as a young kid to Vegas. So I definitely understand the fight game in Vegas.
It was against Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was incredible.
Wow.
Yes. It was incredible.
Wow.
Incredible. So, yes, Vegas and fights go hand in hand. If you don't believe it, like, just drive around and look for one of Mayweather's cars. That's everything you need to know, right?
Yes, indeed.
Well, listen, I promise that it will not take me this long, notice I left out time frames, to bug you again about coming on and hanging with me and talking sports.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
It was a blast. And, hey, forks up all the time, right?
All the time. Hey, big one this weekend. I checked sports books, well, the app, and the Sun Devils are 12-point favorites against the Stanford Cardinals. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd be willing to lay all those points, but it's a good sign when the books are in favor of them.
Yes, it is. And just think, next week, that school in Tucson, they're having open football tryouts. Let that sit in, and that'll make the rest of your week.
Oof, that is sad. That's a bummer for those Wildcats. Jeez, how far they have fallen.
Feels so bad.
Wild.
Feels so bad. Amber, I appreciate you so much. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
You have a good one. Thank you.
All right, you two, take care. That was Amber Dixon. She is incredible. That was so, so much fun. All right, still got to get into those Bears. And still got to get into that apology. We'll do all that right here on The Cave Show with PLR. We're back after this.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show on PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today. That interview was a lot of fun. Amber Dixon was absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Cave Show with PLR. We have so much still to come on the show today. Listen, make sure you follow us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave is with the K. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, Cave is with a K. And make sure you're getting us as well on Twitter, or getting me as well on Twitter at PLR on Sports. We have so much still yet to break down. You know, it's Tuesday, though, so I would just not be me if I didn't let my girl clank in the background while we talk about this to get it started, the one, the only Phyllis Hyman. So I'm watching, or listening, rather, to the Bears, and this is going to be a little long, but I got to do it. I have no choice. But to play you what the genius Matt Nagy said, we'll do that right after this from the one and only Phyllis Hyman. So the Bears win the game this weekend over the Detroit Lions. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Detroit Lions couldn't win that division if they were the only team in it. Somehow they would still end up 0-1. I don't know how, but they would do it because that's who they are, and that's what they do, and that's what they've done. Justin Fields comes out and has a good game. Has a good game. He's doing well. He's not super, but he's doing things that you expect a rookie quarterback to do. It's not the debacle that happened in Cleveland. The call and plays, and they're calling successful plays. But when you look at the plays and they come out in three tight ends, you know who didn't call that play. You know who didn't. Just by the play, you know who didn't call it. But Matt Nagy just can't let things – he wants you to know he's in charge. I'm the man. I'm Matt Nagy. I'm going to be the narcissistic dude. It's me. It's all about me. Listen to this.
Yeah, again, that goes back to what we talked about internally for the whole week, is whatever I can do for the best thing for the Bears, whatever that is. And I think that, again, for us, I think big picture, so we all understand it, is, you know, the offense in general, we get together on Monday as a staff, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We go through everything together. Ultimately, it goes through me, right? Everything that we do, regardless of anything else, who's calling this, who's calling that, it goes through me. And so that part I appreciate, because we do it together, and then there's a collaboration of how we do it. But I thought that our coaches did a great job today. I thought our players executed, which is what we asked for. And quite honestly, again, like, I know, and with all due respect, I understand the questions, but that's what it is, and that's what's going to be the rest of the year, is just knowing that whatever happens, it goes through me, and we've done it together.
Whatever happens, it goes through me. Goes through me. Yeah, Lane's did call the plays, but it goes through me. Okay. It goes through you. We got it. He wouldn't leave it alone. When I asked again, did Laser call the plays? Because everyone knows Laser called the plays. Because those weren't those dumbass plays that Aggie called. So he didn't.
Yeah,
call.
So in regards to the play calling, Bill did a great job, you know. And I think that, you know, at the same point in time, it's important that we understand that I felt good out there as a head coach. And that's real, you know. But we all get together. We talk through. how we're going to call the game. And we do that when I'm calling plays too. You know what I mean? Us as a staff, we get together. So I think that that's important for everybody to know, you know, is that when we build a game plan together, whether it's the offensive line coach with Juan or whether it's our tight ends coach or wide receiver coach, et cetera, we do it together. And in the end, you know, I get a great opportunity to say, yes, I like this, or no, I don't, as the head coach, right, in charge of all that. That's real.
Right.
So when you do that now, I also go back to saying last week, right, or this last week was, hey, whatever I need to do to try to be the best head coach for the Chicago Bears, whatever that is, I don't care. I just want us to have the best opportunity to win. And I feel like Bill did a great job today. Our players did a great job. Our coaching staff did a great job. And we played collectively together as a team, not just players, not just coaches, everybody. And when you have that, it's a good feeling. So we'll continue to just keep talking. We'll continue to but again, like, again, with all due respect, that it's going to be the last time I talk about it. Okay with that.
Well, yeah, it'll be the last time you talk about it because you didn't call the plays. But you want to make sure that everybody knows, hey, Bill Lazor called these plays, but it ran through me. And when the kick started at all, it didn't go through me. Yeah, he called the plays. He called the formations. He decided to do, I don't know, something smart like, let's put some winning plays in for our rookie quarterback. Let him feel a sense of confidence. Let him feel good about himself. And then we'll try to do some of the other stuff. But let's put some wins in first, some small wins, and do it. But, hey, Matt Nagy, if it wasn't for you, those small wins wouldn't happen. You let us know. We already know, Matt, right?
And with all due respect, I understand the questions, but that's what it is, and that's what's going to be the rest of the year, is just knowing that whatever happens, it goes through me.
Whatever happens, it goes through you. People sell popcorn. Wouldn't sell popcorn if it didn't go through you, if you didn't prove the bag that it went in. It all goes through you, Matt. Listen, you are the head coach. If you empower your offensive coordinator to play call and they win, they don't come back and say, well, hey, Matt approved it, so it really wasn't him, it was the OC. No. I'm going to take you back a long time ago, many years, 20 years, I was in corporate America. One time someone came up to me from another department, and they said, hey, we really want this person to come and work for our department. They put it in. It's a promotion for them. It's early, though. Will you sign off on it? And a lot of people say, oh, why would you sign off on that? You're going to lose your talent. Good. I want to lose my talent. I want to develop my talent. If people know that by working for me, they can go further, that makes them want to work for me even more. If Lays is a guy that now is calling plays, and then that makes him be a head coach down the line, guess what, Matt Nagy? It makes you look good. If the team wins, that makes you look good. But instead of saying, yeah, Lays called those plays, he called a hell of a game today, we won, and shout out to him. You
and
want
that,
us
with
to
all
know,
due respect, I understand the questions, but that's what it is, and that's what's going to be the rest of the year, is just knowing that whatever happens, it goes through me.
We all got to know it goes through you. But do you know what else went through you? This stupid-ass answer here.
So when we work through this whole process, we got to see where Andy's at health-wise these next 2 days. That's important because, like we said this whole time, you know, when Andy's healthy, right, when he's healthy, he's our starter. He's the one, Justin's the two, Nick's the three. So what's been great about this, you know, the last couple weeks is Justin's had the opportunity to play and get significant snaps, and he's grown from it. So now we just got to see, like, where is Andy's health at? Honestly, the next 2 days will be revealing to us.
The hell are you looking at? So I looked at Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson the first week didn't look that great. Second week didn't look that good. Third week looked a little better. And at one point his coach said he has to understand how to play the game. He's getting better, but he has to understand not about the show. Sometimes in football, you got to take a loss. It's okay sometimes to take the loss. It really truly is. It's okay to punt. That's why they're on the team. That's why punters are there. It's okay to check down. You don't have to air it all out. You don't have to show how great your arm is on every single possession. Sometimes you win in football by being patient. Well, you know why Zach Wilson looks better in game four than in game one? Because he's gaining experience from playing four games. So you know what the Bears should do is allow their quarterback to gain experience. Did he look like a world beater? No. But he looked completely different, and it was Detroit. I understand that. From taking all the snaps, going through a game, getting a friendly game plan for him, even though it went through Matt Nagy, it makes a difference. But instead of sticking with the guy, you voluntarily go back to when Andy is our star. What do you think that's going to do to your team? I used to think Matt Nagy was clueless. And from time to time, even I say that now. But I don't think he's clueless. I think he's narcissistic. I think he honestly thinks his way, his plan, his thoughts are the only ones that matter. To hell with everything else. To hell what his eyes are showing him. To hell what he's seeing. Whatever. His eyes or in his mind, he knows what he's going to do. And when he says, what's the best thing he could do for this team? Hand the play calling power over to Lays. Don't have to go back and tell everyone you did it. Hand it over. We know it runs through you. No, because we don't have to hear this again.
With all due respect, I understand the questions, but that's what it is, and that's what's going to be the rest of the year, is just knowing that whatever happens, it goes through me.
We got it. It goes through you. You're the man. Oh, big man on campus. You should have that on your jacket. Bears football head coach. BMOC. We got you, buddy. We got you. But if you really want to do the best thing for the football team, I would say resign. But since we know you're not going to do that, hand the play calling over. Let your OC call the plays that are friendly to Justin Fields, already sort of admitted play calling better than the bull you know what that you called. And let's see what happens with this young kid. Try your best not to screw him. So I usually don't play a whole interview in its entirety. I apologize to reporters that did this because I don't have all your names, so your questions are in there. But I've been telling you and telling you, I'm getting to the I'm sorry, not sorry. And this is who was sorry, but not sorry. The one, the great, Urban Meyer.
Yeah. I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction. Just stupid. So I explained everything that happened and owned it and, you know, just a stupid shot at myself in that kind of position.
Urban, did you fly back with the team or did you stay in?
No, I stayed to see the grandkids and we all went to dinner that night at the restaurant. And then there's a big group next to our restaurant and they wanted me to come over and take pictures and I did. And they were trying to pull me out on a dance floor screwing around and I should have left.
How did the team react? I mean, they're probably pretty reactionary, or, you know, how did they take it, your apology?
Well, I've always been so defensive of them. You know, I remember when Trevor told me he was going to go to Vegas for his bachelor party. I mean, I was just, my gosh, man, be careful and surround yourself, and because I've seen this happen. And I just, so the team, I spoke to a bunch of leaders one-on-one, spoke to all the players. They're good. We're focused on Tennessee, and I apologized again for being a distraction. And a coach should not be a distraction.
How about your family? Did you feel a need to apologize to your family?
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, that's not me, and that's they were upset.
Have you talked to Shad Khan about it, and what was that conversation like?
I did talk to Shad, and very supportive, and Trent, I talked to him obviously at length right when I got that phone call that night, the next night.
Did you
Okay, so here's basically what happened. Urban Meyer was caught on video bumping and grinding with someone half his age. Plain and simple, right? Plain and simple. Now, this generally wouldn't be a big deal, but it's a big deal for a bunch of reasons. Same season, he's their football coach, and he's the guy that always preaches, you know, family first. Now, I think he's a con artist and full of crap, personally, because he recruited in Florida, and he recruited a lot of bad dudes in Florida. And I don't mean bad as in good on the football field. He recruited some bad dudes. Then when he went up to Ohio State, he supported a woman beater. And I don't care how you want to slice it up and say, well, he didn't know it. Yeah, he knew. Supported a woman beater right after it was done. Then he comes to Jacksonville, and he hires a racist. And whatever, people have a right to get redone, redo their lives, rethink their thoughts, however you want to say it. But the time was too short. There was not enough remorse for what this person had done in the past. Not enough time had passed to really show or enough work had been done to show forgiveness. So then he hires a racist. So now all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe this is the first time he's out bumming and grinding with someone half his age. First time ever. No, it's the first time he got caught. He allegedly, well, I won't say allegedly, after the game, instead of going back to Jacksonville, him Cleveland went to Columbus. He said he went to see his kids, his grandkids, family members, all that stuff. So he decided to go to his restaurant, Urban Meyer's Pine House. And some people in a nearby section asked him to take some photos, do some stuff. And we're supposed to believe, so did they ask him to do this after his family left? So he's bumping and grinding with the grandchildren in the other room? What was he exactly doing all this bumping and grinding? You heard him say he apologized to everybody. His owner came out today. I'm going to read this very quickly. I've addressed this matter to Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've addressed this matter with Urban. Specifically, our conversation will be held in confidence. What I will say is his conduct last weekend was inexcusable. I appreciate Urban's remorse, which I believe is sincere. Now he must regain our trust and respect. That will require a personal commitment from Urban and everyone who supports, represents, or plays for our team. I am confident he will deliver. I am confident Urban Meyer will have a health breakdown and have to step away. If not before the season ends, after the season ends, because that's what Urban does. I will have more on this tomorrow, but don't be fooled. This is not Urban's first time. Baby, I'm sorry. He is sorry he got caught this time. And he can stand up there with his head down and say, oh, this is bullcrap. I, for one, am not buying it. You're busted, dude. You're busted. Doing what you probably normally do. When you were in Columbus, no one was going to sell you out because you were leading the team to bowl games. You're not in Columbus anymore. All those videotapes, yeah, buddy, they're getting played now. Talk about this more tomorrow. Thank you, Amber Dixon, Las Vegas sports reporter, fellow Sun Devil. Thank you for coming on. That was awesome. I will not wait as long to have her on again. Make sure you're following us at Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Caves with a K. SportsCave.com is the website, Caves with a K. You can get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. A lot of stuff to get into tomorrow. We will do it right here. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. Temps, bring us home.